This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing our journey looking at the second final juz of the Quran, juz Tabarak, whereby the previous surahs we find the concept of sukhriya, of mocking the prophets or mocking the last day, or questioning or asking about the existence of the coming of the last day. This theme of mocking or questioning the last day spills over into Surah Nuh, whereby now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a decisive answer for those individuals who reject the last day, or those individuals who reject the prophets, reject the messengers. When a person begins to follow a path of mockery, of jesting and joking, that we find, as many ulama mentioned, leads towards kufr, towards disbelief. That we find that the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, al-istihza'u bi sunnati kufrun, whoever makes a joke about the sunnah, or a joke about the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Magnificence, glory, glorification is given to the sha'air, the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it be the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it be the adhan, the call of prayer, whether it be a libs, the clothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to wear, or the dress, or our food, our eating, whatever it may be about Islam. Anybody who makes a mockery or joke about it, takes it something lightly, something very, very harsh upon that individual to begin to pursue that path. Because eventually it leads to total rejection. As we find inside the Quran, that these hypocritical individuals, kunna nakhudu wa nal'abu, just playing, passing time, amusing ourselves and making these comments. We never really intended this. قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَيَآيَاتِي وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Inside Surah Tawbah, you making a joke about the ayat, the symbols of Allah, about the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Bring no excuses. You have committed disbelief in these words that you utter. So to mock the prophets, to mock the anbiya, and we saw recently as well, mocking the family members of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, isn't something trivial, isn't something light that we should take it. At the same time, we should learn from this, that a person, the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a difficult path. It's a long, tedious path. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. Inside Surah An'am that we find, Allah mentioned, this is a long path. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا. It's a long path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you read the tafsir of this ayah that you find that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he narrates, he mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ, he drew a long line in the sand, and he drew other shorter lines. And he said the end of these shorter lines, nothing but the shayateen, the shaitan who's waiting at the end of these lines. There's no shortcut to paradise. It's a long, difficult path, just like inside Surah Al-Ma'arij, it mentioned as well, إِنَّهُمْ يَرَاهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. They see it far away, but we see it close by. Then it highlighted all the traits of the believers. These are the actions you need to do to get to paradise. And likewise, inside this surah, to get to paradise is a sabr, is patience in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of us, we want instant results. Instant results, what we look for inside our society, because خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. Man has been created in a state of hastiness, wants a quick fix, everything to be fixed immediately in front of them. But a path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a long, tedious, hard path. فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلْ لَهُمْ. فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. Have that patience, that resolution, just like أُولُو الْعَزْمِ. وَالْعُولُو الْعَزْمِ خَمْسَةٌ, five prophets that we find who are أُولُو الْعَزْمِ. Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, وَعِيسَى وَنَبِيُّنَا مُحَمَّدٌ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Why these five specific prophets have been selected, have been chosen to be mentioned inside this ayah about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a sir inside of some of the ulama, they mentioned that two of them had a lenient path or lenient choice of how they conducted themselves, like Ibrahim alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam. And two of them at moments, they were harsh, like Musa and Nuh alayhi salam. As we see inside the surah of calling of destruction of their people. وَفِي وَسَطِهِمْ وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Is the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. بَيْنَ التَّرْغِيبُ وَتَرْهِيبُ وَبَيْنَ بَشِيرُ وَنَذِيرُ. Is the Prophet alayhi salam. That at certain moments, he was harsh to his people. And at certain moments, we're lenient towards these people. Put these all five together, you get أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. You get the five glorious prophets, the prophets with the longest and strongest resolution inside their paths. Tests, ask the tests that we find. وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. Ibrahim alayhi salam, He was tested one after another, one after another. فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ Every time he was tested, he completed. وَإِبْرَهِيمَ الَّذِي وَفَّى Every single test, every trial, every tribulation, everything that was asked to Ibrahim alayhi salam, he completed it. And that's Allah said, that we're going to make you a khalifa, we're going to make you imaman lin-nas. We're going to make you a leader for the whole of the world, the whole of mankind. Look at the billions who responded to that call. Standing in the barren, empty valley land. No one was there. And he called out to the people, Adhin fin nasi. Call out to the people. No one was there. No one was there who heard that call. But he was told to make that call. Look how many, not millions, billions have responded to that call. And likewise, his wife, Sarah, who was there. But first she began to question her, why have you left me here in this barren land? Then she said to him, Allahu amraka bihadha. Did Allah command you to do this? He said, yes. Then she said that then Allah will not let us go to waste. He will protect us. This is the difference that we find in our creed, in our belief, that we find the concept of tawakkal ala Allah, of devotion, of commitment, believing that Allah will give success, will give dominance. It's there, it's written down. Allah's promised it, that he's going to give victory to the messengers. Victory is going to be given to them. And those who follow that manhaj, follow the path of the messengers, that victory will come to them on the face of this earth. Sometimes it may be physically and visible, that victory, and other times later on. But as long as the person knows that they planted those seeds of that victory in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Allah mentioned, Surah Al-Baqarah, this testing and this trialing that we find. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَالزُّلْزِلُوا. Look at the people who came before you. Do you think أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ? Do you think you're just going to stroll into paradise? That's what many of us Muslims, we think by default, we're just going to walk into paradise. Has not the parable come of the people that came before you? مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَالزُّلْزِلُوا. They were tried with afflictions, adversities, difficulties, hardships. وَالزُّلْزِلُوا. And the earth began to shake underneath them. Till eventually even the messenger and those with him said, مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ? When will the victory of Allah come? أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Indeed, the victory of Allah is close by. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These are only days that we alternate. A day for them, a day for you. But the real victory is always with the believing individuals. That's Nuh alayhi salam. He persevered inside his path of preaching to his people. 950 years, he preached to his people, continuously preached. There was some of the ulama that begin to calculate that how old was Nuh alayhi salam? What was his age? Various aqwal that we find. That if he preached for 950 years, and many of those prophets or people at that time were given an extended life, he could have been even, hatta some ulama said, 1400 years old he could have been, is a view that exists there. And 950 those years, he's preaching to his people day in and day out. This is a lesson for us inside our lives, that what efforts are we making? You know, we've become these part-time Muslims over the weekend, Yawmul Jummah, or when I feel like giving da'wah, or when I feel like going to a certain environment. That's not what da'wah is. Da'wah is your whole life. You are a da'wah yourself, the way that you walk, you conduct, the way that you behave. You don't clock in and clock out of da'wah. You don't do that. That's a Christian concept that you're preaching on a Saturday, you're preaching on this day, you're preaching then. No, you can't clock out. By default, Allah's placed us on this earth. He's made us the ummah. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ لِلْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ الْمُنْكَرِ. He's made you this ummah, made us that ummah, that nation, to order the good and forbid the evil. Then again, Allah mentions, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ الْمُنْكَرِ. You're the best people ever brought forth in existence. This ummah of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. What is the key role of this ummah? Is it a passive ummah? Tacit ummah, silent ummah that we find? No. You're a nation that comes and orders the good and forbids the evil. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. And you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the whole this surah of Surah Nuh, the 71st surah of the Quran, is nothing but tawheed. If you look deeply into it, it's speaking about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ أَنَ أَنذِرْ قَوْمَكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ يَأْتِيَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ إِنَّا حَتَّى. Look at the Quran, certain places of the Quran. Allah begins certain surahs with inna. Indeed, we have. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. We gave you al-kawthar. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Look at these surahs, if you ponder over them, they're deep, powerful surahs. Because khitab inna is that you turn towards, look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us. What is he addressing to us? That we have to pay attention towards that. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. We sent down the dhikr, the Quran, and we're going to preserve the Quran. So we have to pay attention when Allah is calling out to us. That this is a grand topic that we need to focus upon it. That Nuh alayhi salam was sent to his people to call to his people. Hatta kalima Nuh, some of the ulama, they say that Nuh alayhi salam goes back to the word Nah. Nahun bi ma'na yabki kathir. He wept for his people, is one view that ulama mentioned. He was concerned about his people. All of the messengers were concerned about their subjects. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We didn't send you except for the mercy to the worlds, to the world of jinn and mankind. That's what the messengers are. They're full of compassion, mercy. They're worried. The end of Surah Tawbah, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. صِفَاتُ النَّبِي عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. The end of Surah Tawbah. A messenger, it worries him that people are not coming towards guidance. It overburdens him, it troubles him. So Nuh alayhi salam is Abu al-Bashr, the father of mankind, the father of the Anbiya, as one view, as ulama go to, because he was the first messenger. Because there was a break in between Adam alayhi salam, or there were other prophets, but none of them had to come out to warn their people, because people, kana nasu ala ummatin wahida, people upon one nation, one belief. Then Allah sent the messengers to warn people. And ulama said the first messenger to warn the people was Nuh alayhi salam. That people began to drift away from Tawheed. Drift away from the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he begins by warning his people. Ya qawmi inni lakum nadhirun mubeen. Hatta hadha al-khitab. Ya qawmi. He didn't say, I'm a warner to you. He didn't say that. He said, ya qawmi. Fi hadhi al-kalimat lutf. Wal mahabba wa shafaka. It's love, compassion, care for his people. Ya qawmi, my people, my comrades, my brethren, my tribesmen. He's calling out to them. Inni lakum nadhirun mubeen. An'ibudullaha wattaquhu. Imam Sa'd inside his tafsir said, this is the path of success. An'ibudullaha wattaquhu. That just worship Allah. Fear of Allah. And ta'a, obedience, and obey. And obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then by default obey the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That's it, three things. You don't need to acquire a mass amount of knowledge inside your life. Ibadatullah, worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'atullah, obedience towards Allah. Thumma ta'ila rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Because he's fi maqani tashri', in a position of legislation telling us what to do. Whoever obeys the Prophet alayhi salam, dakhal al jannah. Whoever obeys him enters into paradise. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى وَدَخَلَ فِي النَّارِ. Whoever disobeys me, whoever disobeys me goes to the hellfire, it goes towards Jahannam. That's how simple Islam is. Allah mentions Surah Al-Hashr, the 59th chapter, verse number 7. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the messenger tells you to take, take it. Whatever he tells you to stay away from, stay away from it. So this messenger is warning his people. As we find the awwalan, he warns them, gives them the warning. وَذَكِّرُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ. Remind them about the days of Allah. Because sometimes you have to warn the people. That's why Yawmul Jum'ah is maqam of maw'idha, of admonition, of warning, of telling people. Not every moment is a moment of warning and giving zajr to the people. But this is the moment that Nuh had to warn his people. Begin by warning them. That you've been drifting away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I need to warn you about the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does he say to his people? Or what does he say? قَالَ رَبِّي إِنِّي دَعُوتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. Ya Rabb! Ya Rabb, I called my people day and night. I persevered giving them da'wah every time. I gave them da'wah in secret, in the open. Every time an opportunity, I would give da'wah to these people. ثم أسررت لهم أسرارا بمعنى خفية. In secrecy I gave them da'wah. وأعلنت لهم. I gave them openly da'wah. I gave them da'wah. In the morning, in the day, throughout, whatever I could do, I warned these people. But what happened to these individuals? These individuals, they became arrogant, full of pride, arrogance. جعلوا أصابعهم في آذانهم واستغشوا ثيابهم وأصروا واستكبروا استكبارا. They thrust their fingers. بمعنى الجزء, The fingertips, they thrust their fingertips inside their ears. Grown men. Then on top of that, they took their outer garment, their garments, and they placed it over their heads. And said, we're not going to listen to you. Look at this sukhriya, this mockery. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some 10 different places speaks about Nuh alayhi salam. Inside Surah Nisa that you find, Surah Al-A'raf, Surah Hud that you find, the longest discussion of the story of Nuh alayhi salam is there. Inside Surah Al-Mu'minun as well, whereby it mentioned that it began to make sukhriya of him. Mockery, joking. They said to him, Ya Nuh, Asbahta Najaran ba'da kunta nabiyya. Are you now a carpenter when you used to be a prophet before? What's this you're building this ark? This ship that you're building and this punishment you're warning us about. He had to bear that in his life. You know, as a Muslim, you have to bear these things. As sukhriya. They will mock at believers. They will mock at Muslims. Our dress sense, our character, our behavior. وَحَتَّ مِنْ بَعْدِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Look at these people, backwards people, how they dress. Look at their beards. Look at their hijab. Look at their garment. Look how they urinate. Look how they eat. Look how they drink. Don't be surprised. Even amongst Muslims, you find sukhriya. They mock, as we began with, they mock Muslims. They look down upon Muslims. Muslims are a symbol of Allah. You find this Kaaba of Allah, which has been broken brick by brick. It means nothing in front of Allah. Even though it's the house of Allah. It means nothing if it's dismantled. One droplet of blood has more value in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of a believer. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Awliya of Allah, those people who trouble them, who harm them, who affect them, these are the friends of Allah, beginning with the Anbiya, beginning with the messengers. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah took Ibrahim as a khalil, as an intimate friend. Allah only took two messengers, two prophets to be close to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salam and the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam. He took them close to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. For what purpose? And likewise, Musa alayhi salam, wa kallam Allah Musa taklima. Allah spoke to Musa directly, alayhi salam. These are grand men, grand individuals. That we minimalize these individuals. These are the beacons, the icons of life of a believer. These are the icons, these are the role models that a person should cluster around inside their life. That's why read Qasasul Quran, read the stories of the Quran. Read this, that's what you find. That the stories of the Quran, Manu thabbitu bi fu'adak. Allah says this is what strengthens your heart. What strengthens your heart is the journey of the Anbiya, the journey of the messengers, what they went through. But Nuh alayhi salam, he's still tolerant. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّوْ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. He still reminds his people that, you know, your Rabb, your Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's full of maghfirah, full of forgiveness. Allah still wants us to come towards the path of forgiveness, gives us the opportunity. What does istighfar do? Look at the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّوْ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. Allah will open up the heavens for you. Open up the heavens for you. Give you children. Give you wealth. Give you gardens. Give you rivers in paradise. This is the action inside this dunya of istighfar. The fawaid of istighfar are so many. Imam al-Hasan al-Basri asked this question. Somebody came to him and said to him, we're suffering from drought. We're suffering from a lack of rain. What did he say to this individual? He said, seek the forgiveness of Allah. Another individual said, I'm barren, I don't have children. He said, seek the forgiveness of Allah. Another person said, I don't have wealth. He said, seek the forgiveness of Allah. His students said that each one of these came with three different scenarios. And each one of them, you said to them exactly the same answer. He said, there's no Allah say inside the Quran, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّوْ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَجَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَارًا. Does not Allah promise that? That you make istighfar. This is the most ultimate day of istighfar, of calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, imploring upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of making tawbah wa rujoo' ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he warns his people, tells his people, gives them the benefits and the benefit of the earth and the dunya that Allah has laid out upon for the people. But still, some people don't want to listen. So now the warning has to come. قَالَ نُوحُ رَبِّ إِنَّمْ عَصَوْنِي. Nuh says, oh my people, these people have disobeyed me. They don't want to follow the right path. They don't want to leave their idols, their statues and their gods. وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ وَدًّا وَلَا سُوَاعًا وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَصْرًا وَقَدْ أَدَلُّوا كَثِيرًا. These five names that are mentioned inside the Quran, read the tafsir of Ibn Kathir. Majority of ulama tafsir, they mentioned these were five righteous men. Look how shirk creeps into our society. Five righteous men who existed before. And when they passed away, shaitan came and whispered to them, various different narrations that exist in works of tafsir, but just to condense them and to summarize them. They said, you know, these righteous people, just build some form of reflection about them. He never said worship. He said, just build some reflection about them. Then maybe build an image about them. And after one generation, to another generation, to another generation, till eventually what happened? That some ulama even said they changed these statues, these idols, to be resembling certain animals. And then people began to worship and began to rely upon them. So this concept of what leads to shirk, that people say, oh no, but it's no harm in coming to a grave. Maybe there may be some ulama say there's no harm if a person comes to a grave. But what does it lead to? What do the masses of people, when they come to a grave or shrine, what do they intend? What do they intend? Not what do a few intend. It is the most ultimate, clearest path to shirk billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you come to a shrine of a dead individual. There's some ulama even say that even to raise your hands to make dua facing the grave. And there's people, juhal, ignorant people around you. Don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hands. Because there's ignorance rampant inside our society. Because some people may think you are actually physically praying to the grave. It may sound strange for many of us in the Western environment. But people do. I've heard people standing next to a grave and saying to a dead shrine, a dead body, give me a child. I don't have a child. I've heard it with my own ears, praying to a dead individual in a grave. And when people say this is trivial, we should be relaxed about this. Hada aynu shirk billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the essence of shirk billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. And taj'ali lay niddan. You make an associate, a partner with Allah, وَهُوَ خَلَقَكَ. And He's the one who created you, وَرَزَقَكَ. And He provides for you. And He sustains you. مِن مَعَانِ الرَّبِ. What are the ma'ani of Rabb that we find? There's a long list of it. So even this simple action, people may think it's a simple action, it's a dangerous action, which opens up avenues that you see for siru fil ard. What is the Muslim world full of? It's full of shirk billah. And the opposite, what is it full of? Ash-shahwat. Two things destroy this Muslim ummah. Ash-shubuhat wa shahwat. We need to tackle both of them inside our lives. Not just clamp down on people commit shirk. Look at shahwat. Look at desires. Look at the level of desires where they've led to. These symbols, these five idols. What do we find inside the Muslim world at the moment? You find pictures depicting regimes, people, as if you have to bow down to wherever you go, plastered all around the Muslim world. It's a medieval, barbaric practice that even the Western world doesn't practice, that their people, their leaders are plastered all over the world, all over every building, plastered, show reverence to them. You just make a comment, you're thrown to the dungeons, to the gallows, medieval practices. We're supposed to be a developed nation, a people. This is our Muslim world that we live in. That people try to hide behind. No, it doesn't exist. It's a political climate. It's not a political climate. It's a reality. It's a fact. It's a fact that we live in. That we are living surrounded by jabbarin. Tyrannical people around us. Who believe they want to play God with people. That's what they want to do. And as far as we're concerned, I believe it, we don't bow to no subject. Only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what we do. That's the meaning of tawheed. Tawheed doesn't make you a passive individual. That they dissemble the symbols of Allah, the logos of Allah, the belief in Allah, the people who lift the symbols of Allah, that you dismantle them, you trivialize them, you harm them as we began with. We should be worried about this, our society, that those people are taken away, the voice of the people are taken away, or they're silenced for what purpose? For their shahwat, for their own intent, for their own purposes. So this leads on to of reverence inside society. Never praise people so much. We don't worship people. Hatta the Rasul alayhi salatu salam. The amount of immense love that we have towards the Prophet alayhi salam. We're not Muhammadans. We don't worship him. We follow his sunnah. We follow his teaching. Wa rasulu fikum. Messengers amongst you. We follow his life. Qul in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni. Say, if you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, follow the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salam inside your lives. That is the path of success. So these individuals, they're destroyed. That he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, destroy these individuals. Don't leave any of these individuals. That's why the ulama said that he had every right, that after 950 years, he had every right now to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah, destroy these people. Because he's experienced these people. As for us, what do we find inside our society? every other day. This person, فَهُوَ ضَالٌ جَاهِلٌ مُبْتَدِعٌ كَذَا وَكَذَا وَكَذَا وَكَذَا, that we find. By what? I wrote a PDF. I sent a text. I wrote this article. I spoke to him there. I met him there. I done this there. He done this there. This is a Muslim society that we find. تَصْبِرْ عَلَى النَّاسِ. 950 years, persevere with people. We can't persevere 9.5 minutes with people. We can't persevere 9.5 minutes with our own family members, with our loved ones, people around us in society. Oh, this person, there's no khair in that person. He's going to the hellfire. He deserves to go to the hellfire. He should be in the hellfire. What good is he anyway? This is what we find. These are our slogans. This is our society, what we do with the people around us. Whereby we should be people of perseverance, resolution. As we mentioned, many times, it's not for us to send people to paradise or to the hellfire. It's not for us to do that. It's only upon us to convey the message, to remind people, in alayka illa al-balagh. Upon you is only to warn the people. Mimma khati'atim ughriqu fa udkhilu nara. And because of the sins of these people and the vices that they're carrying out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them to enter into a punishment and then enter into the fire. That's what the majority of ulama mentioned. This ayah is a proof about adab al-qabr, the punishment inside the grave. And just as we mentioned that this surah, we said this surah is full of belief. Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, belief in the last day, the reality of the last day. And the beginning of the last day begins with the grave. Mimma khati'atim ughriqu fa udkhilu nara. Afa al-fawriya, immediately, as soon as they entered into the graves, they're thrown into the fire. As soon as they die, they entered into it. That's what many ulama said, that after al-gharaq, after they were drowned, the people of Nuh alayhi salam, then they come to al-haraq. Then what happened? Then they burn. They exposed to the fire inside their graves. They exposed it before. And then on the day of judgment, ashadd al-adhab. And more severe punishments at the akhirah will be given to these individuals. That's what we mentioned, that we should be worried about what our masir, what our ending will be. Where are we going? Where is our destination? Which path are we heading in? Where are we heading towards? Are we heading more and more, may Allah forbid, towards the hellfire? Are we heading towards that direction? As we mentioned, one sin, one vice leads to another vice, another sin. Then a person begins to traverse a path of sins. Not to say the person cannot turn back, but it becomes difficult. Difficult for an individual when they place so much sins upon their heart and their mind for them to break those shackles and to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or do we follow the path of khair, of goodness that is shown to us every single day? The symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we find Rabbik filli, oh Allah, forgive me and my people, of wali walidayya, wali man dakhla baytiya mu'minan, whoever enters into my home, whether it be a believing male or female. So this dua, many ulama said, yustahab and yusta'mal hadha dua. They say it's recommended, use this dua to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why, as a side point, look at all the duas adhira inside the Quran. When asking Allah, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana, Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Collect these du'as, see these du'as, see the benefit of these du'as, these supplications, especially on this blessed day, on the day of Arafah, which has fallen on the day of Yawmul Jum'ah, which is very rare. Some ulama say every 10 years or so, it falls upon the day of Arafah, comes the day of Yawmul Jum'ah. What a great blessing it is. The great day that Yawmul Arafah, that we find, the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivers so many souls, so many necks, He delivers them, rescues them from the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kama yaliku bi jalalihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what befits His majesty, He descends. He descends and He calls out. And He knows why those servants are gathered. He asks the angel, why are they here? Mada yuridun, what do they want? Why are these people come here? In this disheveled state, in this weak state, giving up everything, their home, their family, everything. Why are they here for? For what purpose? Well, ilmu inda Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows. But He wants to show that there's going to be people on this earth who will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will call upon. Look, even the people who went, look at the amount of people who went, or the few people who went. We met some people, random people, that you wouldn't even imagine that this person has been selected to go, because these are the guests of Allah, Duyuf al-Rahman, who've been called by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can exert every effort to be there, but you never get there. And if Allah, as they say, if Allah calls you, you'll be there in an instant. You'll be there in front of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are blessed individuals who are there. But we're blessed as well that we take this opportunity that we call upon Allah. Allah boasts, look at my servants. What are they asking for? They're asking for my forgiveness. This day of Arafah that we find, that we should be there praising, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine there's no place on the face of this earth. There'll never be on the face of that, on that one same day, that millions of people will implore and call upon Allah.
وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord says, call upon me. Call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the benefit of our life? What have we learned inside our life? That we can't even do a basic thing, that on this ultimate day, this blessed day, that we have become forbidden from calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a greater disgrace is that? What kind of disgrace is that a person is not given tawfiq to worship, call upon Allah on the day of Arafah, to fast on the day of Arafah, to implore and ask Allah. And imagine millions who are calling upon Allah. Allah wants to see that. Don't think that as we began, this Muslim Ummah is in a state of destruction. This Muslim Ummah will never be destroyed. It's a promise of Allah given to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Will never be destroyed. Never ever will this Ummah be destroyed. It will always be a successful Ummah. We have to be positive inside our lives. No matter what the troubles in the world around us. That we are successful individuals. The psyche, the beginning of success lies within oneself. Believe within yourself, I am a successful individual. Believe that within you. That's the beginning of success. When you feel, they write books about success. About success, and we read them, we marvel at them. The book of success is the Quran. In هذا القرآن يرفعوا أقوام. This Quran raises people. And it defames other people. So the hadith is Sahih Muslim. When you become people who hold fast to the Quran, stories of the Quran, lives of the people of the Quran, and be of the Quran, you hold fast to them, you see that success inside your life. Where that success, people may ask, where's that success? في قلوبكم, inside your hearts. That's the beginning success inside the life of a Muslim, is inside our hearts, is total tama'nina, total serenity, peace, tranquility, rest. The world is a mad world all around us. But a person finds comfort, solace inside their heart, that this is all min Allah. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he entered in the fire, even Jibreel came and said to him, Hal indaka haja? Do you want something? Ibrahim said, faminka la, from you I don't want anything. This Jibreel alayhi salam, I don't want anything from even you, Jibreel alayhi salam. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. Ma qalahu Ibrahim alayhi salam, what Ibrahim alayhi salam said on that day when he was thrown inside the fire. And likewise what the Prophet ﷺ said when he met the confederates, met the groups or the people trying to attack them on that day. That's what our creed and our belief should be, as we began with belief in pristine, orthodox belief in calling upon, only upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq and ability to pray for the situation, for our own selves, for our family members, for our children, for our loved ones, for our parents, for this Muslim ummah, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change the state of this Muslim ummah, lead it towards a path of success and glory, take away these trials and tribulations and difficulties and absurdities and hardships that we face on a daily basis, lead it back towards a path of success.